The scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, and Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 25. Jesus' lesson at the Last Supper was clear. The meal of the kingdom of God is for all. Saints, strangers, those who persecute and betray you, those who are joyful, and those who weep. The author of the epistle letter to the Romans reminds us and invites us to do as Jesus did. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. In the words of Jesus, take up your cross and follow me. This requires that we follow God's way in offering a good meal at God's table for all of God's guests. Hear now the scripture advice from the 12th chapter of the letter to the Romans, followed by remembrance of what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. Imagine those early Christian Romans gathered at a table, reading this advice to one another, and remembering the words of Jesus.
Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians, be inventive in hospitality.
Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other, don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies, don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back, discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. All do the judging, says God. All take care of it.
Our scripture tells us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if they're thirsty, get them a drink. Your generosity will surprise them with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Do you remember what Jesus said to disciples when they wanted him to be quiet to save himself? Anyone who tends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for?
Hear, hear.
Please join us as we sing the hymn of preparation as we gather at your table.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of you know that before I was appointed to Faith just over a year ago, that I had run a retreat center that I co-founded, and it was in Hampshire, Illinois. Part of the income stream which supported the ministry was having a listing on Airbnb and VRBO. Our primary mission was to provide hospitality, a beautiful, peaceful place for people to rejuvenate, either alone or with friends and family. Groups like church staffs, church boards, small groups, quilters, covenant groups, and writers all came to our four-acre piece of heaven in the country. Now, I learned a lot about hospitality from my grandma Weber and my parents, and it did not bother me at all to have people in this place. I had a blessing to share, so more the merrier. But I have to admit, there were some guests who came to us through Airbnb, for example, particularly early on when we were figuring this all out and I hadn't quite gotten all the rules and the guidelines posted. There were some times where it was really challenging. A wedding party whose photographer decided to move all the furniture and even artwork around for the perfect photo opportunity, but then didn't put anything back. The Northwestern students who were making a film for their final project and brought in more equipment than I had ever envisioned when I said yes, turning the house, the barn, and the property into a Hollywood-like film set. The woman who came with her sick dog, who had also had many, many health issues herself, and really just wanted my attention all the time. The young man who had gotten a new job at the Amazon Fulfillment Center nearby, but his girlfriend just dropped him there, took his car, and left him without transportation and clothes. The enlisted Navy group who came to celebrate a birthday, and you can imagine how they left the place. I could go on. Jello shots are hard to get out of upholstery. There were many, many amazing guests, and overall, I love being able to provide a restful place for people. But hospitality can be challenging. Offering a welcome to those who may not seem grateful, who don't treat your place with respect or care, or are simply rude, can lead us to resist offering an unconditional welcome. Yet that is what Christ calls us to do. All are welcome at the table, no matter who they are or how they behave. As we begin this new series, we will be looking at the characteristics of Christ's table, the communion table. We will look at what it offers. Today, hospitality, and over the next several weeks, love, peace, grace, and joy, and how we will go forth then to offer these same things to others. We experience these gifts from Jesus at the table, and then empowered by the Holy Spirit, we offer them to others. Think about the Last Supper for a moment, the meal on which our sacrament is based. Think about who was at the table. A former tax collector, smelly fisherman, a woman probably sitting in the shadows of questionable reputation, Judas, who would turn Jesus into the authorities, and Peter, who would doubt he even knew who Jesus was. The guests at the Passover table were a varied group, some of whom we might be comfortable dining with, but others, oh, not so much. Yet Jesus ate this sacred meal with them, and not only that, he knelt before each guest, washing their feet, a task that was reserved for servants. Jesus sat at the table with only love in his heart and humility expressed in all of his actions. Perhaps there were some jokes told and laughter bubbling up, especially after those first few goblets of wine. Maybe there were some disagreements and protests over how the events of the past week had played out. The diverse group, though, had become a family, and nothing would get in the way of them celebrating this high holy day together. Even betrayal, doubting, and poor reputations could not stop the joy at the table. That Passover meal, the Passover table, was a foretaste of the kingdom of God. When I was serving Broadway United Methodist Church in the Lakeview neighborhood of Chicago, we had a weekly potluck and Bible study. Most people brought something to share, but some people didn't bring anything, or if they did, it was something very small because they didn't have the resources to do so. So often the pastor and the staff would make sure to bring something more substantial so that there would be plenty to eat for everyone. The faces around the table reflected the demographics of the neighborhood and the congregation. All ages, races, sexual orientations, economic status and educational background, a range of physical and mental ability, just to name a few. There was Don, the retired bearded man, like crazy hair and crazy beard, who always wanted to talk about the most obscure things in the Bible, like the Nephilim or the giants. There was Joshua, who worked for the Chicago Public Library, who was hard of hearing and therefore was often hard to understand, who always wore a pocket protector jammed full, and again, wanted to dig into the minutiae of the texts. There was Bob, the chain-smoking Roman Catholic, who wanted to dig into the differences between Catholic and Protestant theology, who sometimes stayed for Bible study, but sometimes not. You never quite knew. There was the couple in their 40s who were developmentally delayed and could not have children of their own, so they brought a baby doll in a car seat carrier to every event. But there were also people who were quite educated, who worked for the government in finance and in theater, several older church ladies, teachers, and other professionals. And sometimes there were people who were homeless who came in because they needed something to eat. Or perhaps they were on disability and lived in subsidized housing and were just scraping by at the end of the month. It was an incredibly unique group of individuals, often frustrating to manage, as you might imagine. And yet, it was what I envision as the kingdom of God. People would get annoyed and impatient with each other, but there was also laughter and joy as we read the scriptures for the upcoming Sunday and tried to figure out what they might be saying to us. It wasn't just the church members who appeared to have it all together that came, but anyone who walked through the door was welcome. And every Sunday, as we gathered around the communion table at the 8 o'clock service, or once a month at the later service, this was the group that came to the table where Christ the Lord invites all who love him. This really was an experience which Sarah Miles, in her book Take This Bread, describes as the kingdom of God. She writes about the food pantry at her congregation, which ended up being right here in the sanctuary, so that after the food was taken, people were invited to gather for the sacrament. She writes, "The pantry looked like the kingdom to me, precisely because we were all thrown in together. Makeshift community so much bigger and more contradictory than any of us would have chosen. But each of us had come just as we were to the table, drawn without planning to the shores of some lake where we'd heard miracles might happen. And we found the kind of abundance described in parables. Food for 5,000, money multiplying like manna, oil pouring out profligately and the lamps burning wildly all night long, blazing through the darkness of our lives. The kingdom of God is a mishmash of all kinds of people, all of God's children coming for the gift of grace and love, with the hope of something God, only God can provide. The communion table is a place where we live out the vision of the kingdom. It is a place where all are welcome, but it also reminds us of how we are called to be with one another, practicing kindness, compassion, and understanding, setting aside our egos and humbly serving each other, striving to do good and avoid evil, admitting to our faults and failures, knowing we aren't alone, and opening ourselves to God's unfailing love. Nadia Boltz-Weber, a Lutheran pastor who founded the Church of All Sinners and Saints, who's now a full-time writer, says, as she reminds us of the messiness of Christian community, "I've never fully understood how Christianity became quite so tame and respectable, giving its origins among drunkards, prostitutes, and tax collectors. Jesus could have hung out in the high-end religious scene of his day, but instead he scoffed at all that, choosing instead to laugh at the powerful, befriend prostitutes, kiss sinners, and eat with all the wrong people. He spent his time with people for whom life was not easy. And there, amid those who were suffering, he was the embodiment of perfect love." The church often wants to exclude those who are other or somehow not good enough. But we are all broken in one way or another. And the hospitality of God is about welcoming all. Boltz-Weber continues, "I can only look at the seemingly limited space under the tent and think either it's my job to change people so they fit in to the tent, or it's my job to extend the roof so that they fit. Either way, it's misguided because it's not my tent, it's God's tent." A couple weeks ago, I was at a clergy meeting, and there were maybe 15 of us there. Throughout the session, we were seated at three round tables and continued to change seats through the exercise that we were doing. So we got to interact with everyone. When it came time for lunch, people began sitting at one table. Another person would come to the area of tables and begin to put their food down at a different table, but someone would say, "Come on over, there's room here." And the circle just continued to grow. You know, it was a round table like in our fellowship hall that seats maybe eight comfortably, or six really comfortably. So no one was actually at the table anymore because it had been imaginarily extended so that everyone could eat and talk to each other. There was one big circle and we were maybe 3 feet away from it. And that group of people was beautiful, male and female, black and white, some whose place of birth was Korea, Puerto Rico, or the African continent, some born in Illinois, but quite a few from other states. We varied in age as well as years of ministry experience. We were married, divorced, single, gay, straight. We covered a whole spectrum of God's beautiful creation. And there was laughter and joy as we shared bibimbap, a Korean-style lunch bowl. We don't get to choose those who are part of the kingdom of God. And as a result, we don't get to choose who comes to the table. Hospitality is God in God's kingdom is hospitality for each and every child of God, which is everyone. And that's why, as United Methodists, we celebrate an open table where all are welcome to partake of the bread and the cup, the spiritual sustenance that Christ offers us. There are no requirements when we celebrate the sacrament other than to come as you are. And God's radical hospitality of wide welcome is the kind of hospitality we are called to offer as well. Open the door. Pull up another chair. Add another plate. Experiencing life to its fullest is eating with the least, the last, and the lost of this world. And when we struggle to embrace those who are so different, we remind ourselves of the people with whom Christ ate and talked and lived, and we simply follow in his footsteps. None of us wants to be left by the wayside or forgotten. We all want to be at the table. So remember to treat others with the welcome with which you want to be treated. Come to the table. There is always a seat for you. Amen. So invite you to stand now as we sing our hymn of response. Blessed be the tie that binds. I think that we